You're listening to the Wait, What If? Podcast. Be prepared to expand your mind and question your reality. As always, your host, Kevin Sullivan.
Imagine some guy who's married to some monster, who works for a tyrant, who lives in a shithole, who's every day just looking at this crime and flat tires and stealing and breaking and entering, and that's his life every day, all day, constantly. And there's a lot of people like that out there, man. There's a lot of people that don't get any love. They have no place in their life where it feels like they're making a connection. They've missed. They've slammed into walls at every turn. They have a dumb job they don't give a fuck about that a robot can do. They're idiots. And they just realize it, and they're fucking horrified. And they're angry, and their programming from birth to today has been nothing but dog shit by shitty parents and shitty circumstances and shitty genetics, shitty neighborhoods, life experiences, bullying, rape, molestation, alcoholism, racism, constantly over and over and over and over and over and over. And they somehow survive to get to the point where they get their hands on a gun. That's what we're dealing with. That's what we're dealing with. What we're dealing with is humans freaking out and finding a way to kill other humans. To focus on the mechanism in which they're doing that with, we're missing a giant piece of the puzzle. There's too many fucking guns, for sure. It's too easy to get a gun, for sure. You should have, look, I have guns. You should have to take tests, okay? There should have to be some very stringent requirements on your capabilities. We should know exactly how you, do you know where the safety is? Do you know what's a safe way to point the gun? Do you know how to load it correctly? Do you know how to clean it? Do you clean it? Like, you just have this ultimate weapon of destruction, and you don't have to have any knowledge of how to use it at all. But to have a car, you have to show that you can turn, you can hit the brakes, you can hit the blinkers. You have to show all this competency. You have to show all this knowledge of all the laws and all the rules. You don't need to show none of that thing to get a gun.
I think you kind of know where I'm going to go with on this show, Mike. Have you figured that part out?
Yes.
I try not to get... No, I guess... We try to keep it light, obviously, here, and we talk about some crazy, far-out things. I mean, we got electrodes strapped to our head a few weeks ago, and we're tested with our psychic abilities. But I don't know. There's some crazy going on, and everyone's got an opinion on how things should be fixed, and focusing on the human condition and what makes us tick, I think this is kind of a pertinent topic to bring up. Not that... really, anyone else really has to talk about it, but it seems to be the thing to talk about right now. What do you think?
No, you asking me?
Hmm.
Okay.
Oh,
there's
yes.
Another guy on the line, so I didn't.
Yes. Hold on. Caller number four, do you have something to say?
I'd like to order a Big Mac with fries.
So if you, Chris Millington, we spoke to him a little while ago. Actually, I looked, Chris, it was like back in September. It was actually that long ago, but CEO of... Wait, do I call you CEO or president?
President's fine.
Okay. What's the difference between a CEO...
President.
What's the difference between a CEO and a president?
A title. That's pretty much it.
Oh, okay.
A pay grade.
Oh, all right. Yeah. So CEO of Maxim Enterprises, not to be confused with the... titillating magazine.
Yes.
He makes Lincoln logs. Well, Chris is on.
Anyway.
Chris called in because he's going to chat with us today. Yeah, so I thought I'd open it up with Joe Rogan. Chris couldn't hear that in the background, but I kind of talked to him. I sent him the clip of what to listen to that, and apparently I sent him an STD infomercial clip or something in the wrong section of it. I don't know how that happened, to be honest with you, because it was right here in my iPad and I wasn't watching that, so I don't. No.
Yeah, I don't know. It was not the clip that I think you were talking about.
and I think I should mention too, can you hear us good enough, Chris? Is this loud enough for you?
Yeah, it's not too bad.
I bring that up because you are an old man, and old men need it to be louder. Chris's birthday
not too far behind there, buddy.
10 days before mine. You're a whopping 39.
Yeah.
You know what that means, though? You're ticking. You're ticking right down to 40, dude. And in fact, actually, officially, this is your 40th December 10th. You are in your 40th year. Me? I'm just in my my third decade still.
Like so, a fine bottle of Manischewitz.
So, what are you drinking tonight? That's when I look forward to doing the podcast. I like to, so it's obviously, so we're not, I'm not just sitting down watching TV and becoming a brainless person like I do for the other days a month that I'm not doing this. I actually look forward to drinking too, because it's like one of the few times I can sit down and drink.
But, a nice glass.
You were having some, what was it again?
Yeah, I got some Michter's, some original sour mash whiskey from distilled and bottled in Pennsylvania. And the bottle I have is actually from my grandfather's collection.
So it's old, I didn't realize.
It's like a 1960s bottle.
Yeah. We were drinking Michter's the other day at your house, right?
Yeah, I didn't think it was from Pennsylvania, though. I thought it was. I thought it was Tennessee. Or
the one I have is.
No, it must be. Maybe I'm confusing it with something different then. It must be.
The one that he has was brewed when?
a couple years ago.
No, I mean, Chris's is like 1957.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
And he hasn't gone blind from it, so that's good.
Yeah, I know.
Well, it probably wasn't made in the middle of the woods.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's it's got the old Department of the Treasury tax.
The label
sticker across the bottle cap.
He's got the deal.
Now, does whiskey go bad? I mean,
I
if it's
no
not
idea.
Sealed properly.
I don't know.
Because we live.
I've never seen a shelf life on a bottle of booze.
We live in the heart of moonshine country, and if we were to, let's say, we were to walk out in the middle of the woods and find a 50-year-old moonshine bottle,
I think you could drink it.
I think I would drink it. I don't know if I could.
There's
it.
Maybe a sip.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd be drinking a woods booze.
It's adventure.
I found this bottle of liquid.
Just a sip won't kill you, right?
Next to a 48 Packard that was shot to hell and a skeleton with the tuxedo on. Yeah. So, Barstool philosophy. What we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to go deep, and we're going to talk about what the hell's going on with the world. Is this something new? Is this something that we have to freak out about? The people that politicize it, are they doing the right thing? What else? Do we blame the gun? Do we blame the people? I don't know. I don't know if there's an answer to it. First thing, I guess, is guns themselves. I own guns. Chris, do you have any guns?
I do not own any guns.
Oh, you're in Massachusetts. You can own guns, can you?
No, you can.
You can?
You just have to be properly licensed and take a course, yeah.
How about if you were to just buy like a hunting rifle or something? I think it's pretty strict.
You still have to have a license.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you have to license. You have to have a safe. And now you have to take like, I don't know how long the course is, but you have to take like, I don't know if you can do it in a day or if it's like a multi-session course, but you have to take a course for gun safety and all that kind of stuff.
You see, that's I'm kind of all right with that. You know, being as libertarian as I am, Carr and I talk about this a lot, and I guess drive down the road. Actually, no, go to Walmart, right, and walk around Walmart and look at some of the people that are there. And then consider that those people are behind the wheel of a 2,500-pound chunk of metal hurling down the street at 80 miles per hour next to you. And do you feel comfortable with that? Do you feel comfortable with some of those people?
No, not at all.
Yeah, no.
Well, especially if you look at, you know, if you drive on the street at 11 o'clock at night in any major city, you know?
Yeah,
that's true.
People
are probably, you know, buzzed or drunk.
That's true. Or you see them try to drive the, as Mike calls them, the Walmart motivators.
That's
the
right.
Those electric tricycle things that drive around.
Well, not even, you don't need to discriminate against, you know, Walmart, you know,
yes,
customers.
Do.
But, you know, senior executives are like, you know, people going to work in the morning, commuting. You got women, men, you know, reading the newspaper while they're driving, putting makeup on.
Or just texting now, which is freaking horrible.
Yeah.
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 So, I mean, you just take any group of people and you give them that responsibility, and that's a scary thing. And then take that same group of people. Now keep in mind, I'm a libertarian. I'm a constitutionalist. I think, you know, the Second Amendment is extremely important. And I think there's two things. I think there's something that anti-gun people don't understand, and I think And I think there's something as myself, who's a constitutionalist, also I don't understand, or at least I haven't really explored the idea, except for what I just brought up, is that, you know, maybe not everyone should have a gun. Maybe it's not a good idea for everyone to be walking around with this piece of metal that you point at something and it dies.
I think it's a valid point.
Yeah. Well, so this is what Kara Zant put up on her Facebook. She put up a picture of like an AR-15, and it was like, what idiot thinks that this is meant for deer hunting? Who needs 30 rounds when you're hunting a deer? And that's just not the case. People don't, I mean, yes, a gun, one of the purposes is hunting, and there's a specific purpose for hunting, and you buy a specific gun for hunting. If you just go out in the woods with any old gun, you're going to hurt yourself, you're going to hurt the deer, you're going to fail miserably. So you have to get the right tool for the job. An AR-15 or a Glock 42, which I like to carry, those, and this is what really turns, I think, liberals off. But the sole purpose of an AR-15 and the sole purpose of a Glock, whichever model you carry, or any sort of concealed carry permit or pistol, is to kill another human being. That's what it's for. It's to kill somebody. Not to kill deer, not to kill zombies, although it could work in that situation. But their job is to kill people, because that's the whole personal protection part of it.
Yeah, but there's also a lot of fun in just shooting for sport.
Oh yeah, I yeah.
mean, challenge yourself, and
yeah, there's that too.
At, you know, the target shooting and stuff.
I guess yeah. Okay, so let's go back to that. AR-15.
I have a few guns. It's been a while since I've been to the range, but I don't. I have a concealed carry permit, but I don't carry. I mean, the odds of that are just. I don't know. That's my.
Yeah,
own
it's pretty
thoughts.
Remote.
Yeah, but so the thing is if I go shooting, it's more for fun.
Yeah,
I'm not. I don't own these guns. I guess in some respects, I do own it in case there is someone breaking into my home. But mm-hmm. I think I'm more likely to win the lottery or win it big in Vegas than someone.
That's true. You're
so it's right. So the risk is not very great, but yet I still own like four different guns.
Yeah,
I know, and it's more for I think just because I enjoy shooting them.
It is. It's fun. It's fun to shoot. You're absolutely right about that. And I guess I could have gone back. An AR-15, yeah, you can take to the range and have a lot
fun.
Of fun.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. A lot of fun with an AR-15.
Great gun. But all right, so my Glock 42, which is a 386 round pocket pistol, basically, you're not going to take that to the range. I mean,
no,
it's not
going to... No, that's for your own protection, obviously. You're going to carry it because you feel there's a need in order to conceal carry.
And the reason why I carry, the point of me carrying a gun is... You're right. It's a remote chance I'm going to have to use it. But it's also a self-reliance thing. I'm not going to rely on someone else. I'm not going to be the sheep that just walks along with the herd and says, if something happens, I'm just going to sit here until the government steps in and saves me.
Yeah, you don't need a gun, though, for that. I mean, in every mass shooting that we've seen, there's always been heroes that have... They didn't have guns, but
they also died.
Not all of them. Some of them got shot, obviously, but they were able to did something to make a difference to mitigate a lot of the casualties.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always something you can do. I don't think it's.
I'd do a hell of a lot better with a gun, I'm pretty sure.
Well, I have no doubts. I think I would too, but I mean, you're right, though. Your point is very valid.
It's more of you're making a statement, and you're also making a statement, too, by saying no one should have guns. And who's to decide that?
No, I don't think no one should have guns. I think if you want a gun, you should have it. Mm-hmm. And part of me thinks that there should be some sort of test. Like like the quote we heard earlier from Joe Rogan, like we take tests to drive cars. You should take a test to own a gun. I think the problem is the bad guys, they know how to use guns. So they could take the test, pass the test, get the gun, and still use it whatever capacity they want. So I don't know if taking the test solves any real issues, except for those who have already been identified as dangerous or whatever, and they're on some like FBI or police list. But then background checks find those anyway. So I don't know if taking the test would... I don't know, man. It seems like the people who are committing these crimes... know how to use a gun. I mean, that's why they're so successful at committing these mass shootings, because they actually know how to use a gun.
And they go after innocent people, defenseless people. I mean, people in the most recent one. And I guess that's another point too, is you got to look at the two groups that are actually committing these crimes. We call them two groups, but there's really been only one mass shooting event from a terrorist onto innocent people. And the rest of the time, it's these fucking crazy people who decide that, I don't know, their mom didn't hug them, they're not on their medications, and they're going to go kill people.
Right.
Chris, what do folks up there feel like being up in Mass?
I don't know. I think it's a mixed issue up here, where you've got, you know, the one hand folks that obviously, you know, want the Second Amendment right and, you know, want to own the gun, want to be able to take a course, you know, get their, you know, license to carry, everything like that. You got those people saying that it's more of a mental health issue than a gun control issue. And then you've got the other people saying that it's a, you know, a more, there needs to be stricter gun rules and regulations, and that, you know, statistics show that, you know, someone with a mental illness is actually, you know, less likely to cause a crime. And, you know, over the years and studies, like, some say people with severe mental disorders, you know, are in fact more likely to be victims of violence than actually perpetrators of violence.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's definitely, you know, even living up in Massachusetts where, you know, it's a very, I want to say, hoity-toity state when it comes to tough issues. This one is actually, I would say, really divided up here right now, which is one of the first times I've seen such division in our state.
Well, Mass.
So that's actually...
Mass is like New York in that you've got, like... You got a lot of woods up there, and you got a lot of woodsy people. But you also have the majority of the population are in Boston, Worcester. What's another big city? I mean, and then everything down where you are, like Brockton, and so where do you live again? Middletown,
something. Easton.
Yeah, Easton, whatever. All the same.
So yeah, so that where I live, it's more hunting and, like you say, for recreational use.
Yeah.
Once you get into the cities, like the larger population that owns guns are actually criminals.
Yeah.
So there's a big variance in, you know, gun ownership and how people view them, whether you're in the city or outside the city. And you know, the fact that we're so close to Maine, where you can, you know, I could drive up to Maine and buy a gun tomorrow if I wanted to.
So it's
still very easy to get a gun.
How are their laws? I don't remember. I used to live across like 10.
I'm not as up to date on them, but oh. I believe they're less strict than Massachusetts and New Hampshire, and that, yes, they do a background check and stuff like that, but I think you can actually take ownership of a gun within like 3 days.
Okay.
Yeah. We talk about the laws and trying to make it more strict and those sort of things, but do you really think that's the issue?
No.
I mean, I don't think so either, because, I mean, you look at, I mean, I like a lot of gun happy people like to compare guns to major drugs like cocaine and heroin.
Mm-hmm.
That's been illegal for forever, and it's still illegal.
Yeah,
yet it's
right.
Still all over the country. I mean, you can get it.
Yeah.
And the bad guys continue to get it, and they continue to push it. So, I mean, making guns more difficult to get, is it really going to...
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think it's going to make a saying, difference yeah. to the... I mean, the
politically, politically, it says, hey, look what we're doing. We're...
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a check in the right box for the right candidate to get the votes from the right people. But I mean, at the end of the day, does it really make a difference? And I don't think it really does.
Well, Australia did back in the 80s. They had a mass shooting, and then I think they just, the old term gun grab, they just said basically all guns illegal. Oh, that's your great grandfather's musket from, I don't know what they did. I don't know what great grandfathers did in Australia. Shooting wallabies.
The dingo. Dingo got your baby.
They just grabbed them and melted them all down. And I don't think they had that one incident. There was a terror incident, wasn't there, a couple years ago?
Yeah, but they're also an island.
Yeah. It's a big ass island.
It is.
I mean, technically, North America is an island too.
But they're completely isolated. I mean, mm-hmm. there's no other country that borders them. Well, we have. Well, Canada may not have guns, but Mexico, I'm sure, has their fair share. And
Mexico has some of the strictest gun laws, and man...
But sneaking that gun and drugs and stuff across the border?
Yeah.
Shoot,
yeah.
Come on, man. We'd be able to do that. It could be a bit more difficult to melt all of our guns. And
do you know what's crazy? The most dangerous city in the world, and you would think, all right, Kandahar, Baghdad, freaking any place in Pakistan. No, it's Juarez, Mexico, which is literally... over the border from El Paso, Texas. I don't even remember where it is now that I think about it. There's a documentary on it. And it talks about how, like, before the cartels came in there, it was like 4 murders this year. And then the next year it was 100 murders. And the next year it was like 25,000 murders.
The whole city's dead. What? God.
Yeah. It's insane. And then across the border, literally over the fence, in America is El Paso, Texas, and that's the safest city in the United States. Something like three really? Murders last year.
El Paso?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. That's cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, gun laws aren't working there.
But Texas is the most gun-friendly state in the union.
That was
that's the safest city that happens to be in.
That's right.
Gun-friendly states. So
well,
that
facts show that, and people don't like to bring up facts, and I like to look at facts. I like to look at numbers, and the more guns that are out there, the less gun violence there is, which is a strange concept, but if let's say Chris...
I don't know if it's that strange.
Let's say Chris was a mobster. I'm not blowing up your spot, am I, Chris? A gangster, we'll say a gangster, and he wanted to rule his little section of East Taunton, and he knows that the police went and just did a gun grab, and majority of those houses, unless they have an illegal firearm, are unarmed, and he's armed because he's a criminal. He doesn't give a shit, and he's a psychopath. Add that to it, and I'm pretty much describing you, right, Chris?
Yeah.
Did we lose him? He's flipping through the channel right now. It's Thursday Night Football.
That is.
But he would know that he pretty much has carte blanche on controlling everyone because no one's armed.
I think I think there's a lot of truth in that. I mean, yeah. There's more. I mean, because a lot of criminals they may not think of it this way, but in their heads there's a risk versus reward. So I mean, when they're going after someone or
there's
something,
their job, yeah,
yeah. So they're thinking. I mean, the risk versus the reward. So if they're like, this guy may or may not have a gun, you know, he may or may not make a move on that person. And if he knows that this is like Washington, D.C., for instance, they don't have... I think it's very difficult to get a gun in Washington, D.C.
Extremely difficult,
but the
yeah.
crime rate is extremely high because really...
Extremely high. It's the most deadly city in the country. Yeah, or no. Yeah, I think it is.
Probably.
Baltimore is up there, too.
If it's not up... It's one of the top. Mm-hmm. I'm certain of that.
Chicago.
But it's because civilians are not armed, and the criminals know that. So the risk is very low, but the reward is very high, so they can make a move. And maybe El Paso, Texas? What you said El Paso, right?
El Paso, yeah.
Yeah, so... Probably every man and woman and child in the city probably has multiple guns. So the crime rate is low because the risk is high and the reward is probably very low there. So,
do you know what I forgot? You studied criminology.
Yeah.
Did you guys hit a lot of this stuff?
Was it 2015? So that would have been 11 years ago. Uh-huh. 15 years ago almost. I don't know. It was a long time ago. Yeah, we did a little bit. But then you got to remember it was also... a very long time ago. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure some of the data and theories and stuff has changed. But, yeah, we did study this stuff.
Chris, didn't you study law enforcement or you were gonna?
I took, like, two criminal studies classes in college, but that was about it. But the one thing I got to ask, you know, more in terms of, like, you were talking about, you know, the mass shootings. Like, let's take away the criminal activities and, you know, gangs and stuff like that. But just in correlation to the mass shootings, mm-hmm. do you think if there were stricter gun regulations, because like you said, a lot of the people that have participated in the mass shootings either own guns or got guns from a relative who owned a gun.
That's right.
Do you think that there would be less mass shootings because those people would have less access to guns? Because a lot of those folks, like when you mentioned talking about this topic tonight, I went online and looked around a little bit, and I found one story of a kid who basically got caught with two of his friends who kind of had a failed attempt at a mass shooting.
Okay.
And they had, I forget how many guns they had on them, but they had like 2,000 rounds of ammo. They had assault rifles, they had handguns, and basically they tried to carjack a car and go to their school to in effect do this mass shooting, and the carjacking failed, so they decided to abort their mission and were walking back to their house and got stopped by the cops. And basically, the kid ended up doing like 10 years in jail, and, you know, all of these, FBI like profilers and stuff like that were trying to use him as a test subject to talk to about,
because how often you get him, they
why
themselves.
Why did you why did you want to do this? What were the causes? What were the reasons you gave up? Like, you know, all this stuff. And he's like, well, you know, I was a little bit of a loner and it was me against the world, and you know, yeah, I can say that it was, you know, video games or violent movies or this and that, but it was really just me, you know, not feeling like I fit in with, you know, society, and I had access to these guns. My father had guns his whole life and blah, blah, blah. And one of the things that he said, which I thought was interesting in the article, was that he personally felt that because of the type of person that he was like, I don't know if he was like, you know, middle class or anything like that, but if he didn't have direct access to his father's guns, even though he could go to, you know, a bad area and try and find and, you know, hunt down a gun, he personally felt like he would never be able to go through with that just because he was kind of an introvert and
he wouldn't be able
would
to
never
get
him. Go out. Of, yeah. He wouldn't go out of his comfort zone to get him.
Right.
So I'd be curious to look at like the statistics of like all the, you know, major mass shootings over the last 10, 15 years to see, you know, what type of person A, did the shooting, B, if they, you know, were licensed to have the guns that they did the shootings with, and C, if they would be likely, like, you know, if you had like a you know, behavioral analyst look at them to do a profile to see if they would be the type of person that would step out of their comfort zone to go buy a gun from a, you know, gang member or a drug dealer.
Right.
Because if you take that access of those guns away from that type of person,
mm-hmm.
then I think that that would, you know, potentially cut down the, you know, mass shootings. You know, it definitely wouldn't help the gang violence, because obviously those folks, if they want a gun, they're going to find a gun no matter what.
Yeah.
But I'm just talking, you know, specifically about the mass shootings and those type of people. Would that affect that in any way?
So you would say by limiting general public access to guns, you're limiting possible criminals' access to guns, or not. So there's, I think you can break it down to three types of people. There's enemy combatants, which we have. I mean, we saw 9/11, we saw just recently, but it's not that common. And you can't equate a person like that with a mass shooter like that Adam Lanza kid who shot up Newtown. Then, so that second class is that crazy person who A, either wants to become quote famous because the freaking media puts them all over the news when something like this happens. They're introverts and they got some serious mental health issues. So that's your second group. And then your third group is your gangs, all right? Or not even gangs, you're criminals. You're people that are going to shoot each other. They're going to rob stores. I think all three motivations are extremely different. I don't think you can compare any of them to each other. I mean, the lone gunman who's just crazy. I mean, that's such its own realm of crime. It's not even crime. Like, to me, crime is when you take advantage of someone else for your gain. So you pull out a gun, you put it on someone to take their money, or you manipulate someone to take their money, or whatever. That's more like that's more of a crime of insanity, or crime of I don't know what you would call it. I mean, I put it in along the lines of the disgusting crime against humanity. If your whole goal is to go out and kill people, that's not a, I mean, yeah, it's a crime, but it's not, to me, it's not in the same boat. That's just, I don't know what your gain is there. I don't know how anyone can live with themselves by going out and taking someone's either life or innocence or something like that. So I think you have three complete different areas. And sure, one way to get to stop it would be to stop access, but then, you know, then now you're encroaching on people's Second Amendment. And go ahead.
But this is I never heard it quite like Chris said it. I think that's like a really good point, and it's really interesting. But I don't think access certainly seems like it's part of the problem. But the question is how stopping that or limiting that access. I don't think that's the solution either. Man, that's tough. I don't know how you would.
Yeah, it's a tricky
stop
thing.
Someone because it's some guy's kid. Now that guy, whoever he was, may like. Let's just assume that he was like everyone else, and he felt sympathy for people, and he held life as high as you could hold it, and he would never hurt a living thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he is a hunter, but whatever. But then he has this kid who's a bit crazy. How do you stop him from accessing your guns? And I guess it's putting it in a safe. But then how would you enforce that? And that's, can't enforce that. I mean, that's an unenforceable.
In some places, it's illegal to not have your gun. I think North Carolina, it's illegal not have your gun locked in the presence of minors. Like, if my gun is accessible
but what
right
if
now,
he's like 18, he's no longer a minor, but they still go shoot up everything. Like, so, I mean, I think most of the mass shootings, everyone's not a minor. Certainly there's some examples of kids.
I don't know about the Columbine one.
That's what I meant. There's some like Columbine where the kid was under eight, probably I'm certain he was underage, but I think most were older than that. So they're a bit older and they had, you know, they certainly understood what they were doing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think that's the problem either.
And plus it's,
and, I don't know if you can solve it.
I feel like this is just arm everybody. That's what I say. they say that. So when you hear other countries and you hear the political talking heads, they say, oh, they go back to the Second Amendment. Oh, they go back to the Second Amendment. People don't understand, especially if you're not from this country, and especially if you didn't have basic civics, I guess, in high school, that, and you're hearing this now with the First Amendment. You're hearing it with the safe areas on campuses and stuff. Free speech is free speech unless it offends me. Then you have to regulate it. It's like, no. We are, you may not, if you don't understand that the United States is a democratic republic, a constitutional democratic republic, constitution being number one, it is the backbone, it's the lifeline, it's the bloodline of our country. You can't just say, oh, that's an antiquated right in the Bill of Rights, or you can't say that's an antiquated amendment in the Constitution. It isn't. That's what the basis of our country is, and people don't understand that. They don't understand the idea, because you have we look around and all the other first world countries are basically democratic socialists. You look all in Europe and there's really nothing to compare us to, and which for rightly so. I mean, we're, America is a very different country, and there's our culture is just non-comparable anywhere, especially with our freedom to do and say really whatever we want.
America.
But people don't understand that we hold our rights very, very seriously. I mean, I hold my right to bear arms very, very seriously. And it has nothing to do, I mean, and then even if you look at the, well, we can talk about that, but it's not something that can just be easily overlooked like other countries because they don't have the Constitution. And I don't know. You're right. It's a difficult thing, and as long as people focus on that, and then, well, it's an antiquated thing. Right to bear arms is antiquated. This was back when King George was, you know, we just fought him and we didn't want the British to come back. And well, no, it's not antiquated. It's again, you always have to go back to our rights, yeah, and the individual rights. And for me to say, do you know what? I have weapons in this house, A, to make a statement that I'm self-reliant, B, to say you're not going to set foot on this property without there being a problem.
Yeah, without a fight.
Yeah.
The problem isn't the guns, though. It's the people. It's the people and what they have inside their heads. And
There's so many crazy people out there.
And you know, we, as a people, we make other people more crazy. So, I mean, you think about the ones who are, it's too bad I've been drinking quite a bit, so my mind...
Already? We're only like 30 minutes into this.
Well, I was drinking. It took us a while to get started, so... No, but the ones that are these more or less outcasts, social outcasts, mm-hmm, and it's probably very likely that they were picked on or bullied in school. So
sure.
Now they feel like they're these loner individual types, and, you know, as a result of that, they hold...
Chris, care to chime in?
I was making a reference
that you were the loner.
The loner, weird, outcast.
go ahead, Mike.
You know, they have the perception that they're some sort of loner, and you know, and then no one cares about them, so why should they care about anyone else? So I think it's in some regards, I think we kind of create our own monsters by being just terrible to people who might be a little bit different than the social norm. So these people, they kind of, they're isolated and they're alienated, and then at some point they just get fed up with it, and these small percentage of people might have access to guns, and they go out and they commit these atrocities. So
yeah, and maybe there's no, you're right, maybe there's not, maybe there's nothing we can do about it.
It's like, you know, it sounds kind of, I don't know what it sounds like, but you know, you think bullying, and it, you hear it all over the place in schools and then on the internet and all this other, this sort of stuff. But I mean, that's, I think it's a major component to this sort of thing. I think a lot of these weird, these people who are just maybe, you know, not you know, like the social norm, you know, they're a little bit different, and they get picked on and bullied, and then at some point they can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
And then the ones who actually have the access, they find the guns and they go ahead and they're like, you know what, screw it all. And they, They off a bunch of people, and then they off themselves because they realize
always life, off themselves.
Yeah, because I think at some in some point they realize life isn't worth living, but they're not just going to kill themselves quietly in their own home. They're like, you know what? I'm going to take some people out with me. My whole life I've been picked on. I'm gonna end a bunch of people, and then when my time, I'm gonna end myself.
That's legitimate crazy when you think about it.
Well, yeah, of course, because it is. It's very crazy to kill yourself. Because I mean, but I'm saying that the problem isn't the guns. You can do it with a ninja katana sword or something. You can run through Disneyland just slicing up people, and then at the end,
it happens. You know, happens in Japan.
I believe it.
There's mass stabbings in Japan. Mass stabbings in China.
I'm sure. I don't doubt.
Well, Japan had the sarin gas attacks back in the 90s.
Guns, like there was mass killings.
Sure, there was.
Always
Genghis Khan. He just rolled through. He's like, do you know what?
That's a little reach.
I got
a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Totally different from that. Like, well, not totally different, but do you think the whole, and I'll say this kind of pussification of America and America's youth, where, you know, everybody's got to get an award. Everybody's got to, you know, get a participation award, or, you know, everybody's got to be 100% politically correct. You can't use, I think we talked about this, Kevin, in our last podcast, where, you know, even our old university said that students shouldn't use the term American because it would offend people. Mm-hmm. Do you think that has anything to do with the way, like, this generation has been brought up versus, like, our parents' generation or our grandparents' generation of, you know what, you feel like you're being picked on, you feel like this, that, you know, stand up, you know, talk about it, don't just, like, internalize everything, let it build up to a point where you can't control it.
Are you saying, like, we can look at this, and again, they call it like an explosion of violence and an explosion of these mass shootings, which again, don't let the politics fool you in this. A mass shooting just means four people killed at one time, which, you know, or four people shot at one time. That goes down to crime. That goes, I mean, gang violence. That goes down to family violence when psychos decide to shoot their whole families. I mean, when we think mass shooting, we think the movie theater, the school, the you know, wherever there's a group of people. Now the health
post
department.
Office.
Yeah. There used to be the post office back in the 90s that this always happened, but they pull in all sorts of data that kind of skews the actual numbers there. This new, we'll call it, you know, since like the 60s when that guy shot people out of the clock tower
in
Texas. Yeah, I mean, I think that's really when it started. There might have been other instances, but that also correlates with the politically correct society. It happened kind of in the 70s and the 80s, and then we started kind of softening our children up.
Know if this has anything the same, I don't know, let's think about this for just a second, because mass shootings, like you said, just to kind of first one, well, I'm sure there's more before.
He was a Marine,
right? Oh, darn it.
What were you gonna say?
No, I was just saying, so you have these mass shootings are more prevalent now. But then in the 60s and 70s there was a lot more serial killings. There was less mass shootings, right?
They just did it one at a time.
So the same type of person maybe was going hitting individuals, and now,
yeah, Son of Sam.
Son of Sam, John. Wait, what is his name?
John Wayne Gacy. Yeah,
the Helter Skelter guy. What was his name? Out in California.
What's his name, Chris?
He's still alive.
I can't believe I can't think of his name.
Jesus, me neither.
Charlie Manson.
So there was more these serial killing sort of things.
Dexter.
Dexter is definitely a big one, top of the list. But there was more serial killings, and now it seems that there's less. You don't hear about serial killings anymore. What you hear about more is mass shootings. So, but it seems to me that they're probably the same type of person.
Oh yeah, I imagine a psychopath.
Yeah, so
someone
that there was a huge change. And do you think it was? I don't know. Do you think there's?
Maybe they're just lazy.
Yeah, they're like, instead of targeting individuals, you know,
I could do this for years. I could just get it done.
It's an easier way for them to accomplish like that.
But I mean, I guess what I'm saying is there any more or any less now than there was then? Crazy people, and
I don't know.
Maybe it's the same.
There's more people.
There's more people in the world, but
There's a hell of a lot more people.
I think it's more publicized than, you know, with the connection of media and, you know, how fast communications can be transferred.
Yeah, you can.
It might have been something that was localized back in the 60s and 70s that, like, didn't make national news. But I think if you look at the past, you know, 20 years, it definitely has increased. And I think the media might also be a cause of the increase.
The number of mass shootings actually haven't increased in the last 20 years, believe it or not.
Yeah, I didn't think it had. But I think probably more mass shootings since the 60s and 70s and less serial killings since the 60s.
And believe it or not, gun violence has gone down.
We live in a more peaceful era.
This is the most peaceful era in the history of the world.
They show believe it or not. Tell that, yeah. I mean,
What about like suicides with guns?
Yeah, they
would
count
you associate
that
into this realm?
They cause that towards, or they count that towards gun violence or gun deaths each year. Which
I would assume that there's probably more suicides using guns than any mass shootings, you know, over the last 20 years.
There is
no
doubt. I'm trying to bring up the
suicides.
Facts right now, but
especially in the military, there's been a lot more.
I was going to say, I just got my internet was acting all wonky, but I get it now. All right, so. Fact, over a 35-year period, the number of mass public shooting rose during the violence escalation decades of the 1970s and 1980s, then leveled off despite a growing population of and a greater availability of firearms. So more people, more guns, basically. The FBI created a study of that, of what they labeled active shooter events from 2000 to 2013. Basically, they're just saying that they merged active shooter versus mass public shootings, and it made the number go up a little bit, because active shooter just means someone goes out with a gun but doesn't hit anyone. Mass public shootings when they actually go out and kill four or more people. So an active shooter event is where a person shoots at multiple people in public, though there may be no deaths. So you combine the active shooter events and the mass public shootings, and all of a sudden you get a little bit of a jump. So, I mean, everyone is skewing the numbers, and it's kind of disgusting because they do it for their own political gain. I mean, that's what it comes down to. People don't know the facts. And I think there's also a huge, I think there's a disconnect between people who use guns, who know how to use guns, who understand guns, who respect guns, and the people who just say, nope, I don't want anything to do with it. Keep it away from me. I refuse to even teach myself about it. I think if you understood a firearm, I was raised with guns, man. I was like 8 years old shooting 22s with my dad out in the woods in New Hampshire.
I wasn't.
It's just what we did.
Man, I didn't do any of that.
Really?
Yeah.
I learned how to clean them. I learned how to operate them. I learned everything there is to know. It's been tricky. I'll tell you, switching from being a single guy with guns to a married guy with two toddlers is tricky, because it's just a different level of paranoia. I mean, constantly checking, making sure they're locked up, and I mean, you have to.
So now, when do you think you'll teach your kids about your guns?
I'm going to teach them young. I mean, my wife probably doesn't agree with me, but I want them to not, this is what I would want. I would want, like, let's say my son is 10 years old and he's with his friend, and his friend's like, hey, check it out, I found my dad's gun. I want my son to be able to take that gun, clear it, put it on safe, and bring it to an adult, and not scream and run out of the room or cry or have a, what's that called? What do the kids call it now? A safe moment.
Safe.
I want him to be like, hey, don't worry, I got this. Click, click, ching, ching, takes it apart and is like, let's bring this
to
your mom.
Just be comfortable with it and know enough about it.
If you respect
it's not
it.
Something of awe and curiosity.
Exactly. Not something of awe and curiosity. Not something of complete horror. Kids today at school, on TV, they're taught that guns are horror. They're a terrible thing, and people that own them are terrible people, and that's not the case at all. I own guns. I like guns since I was a kid. I just the easiest way to explain is I like shooting them. They're just fun to shoot. And the other thing, like I said earlier, is that it's my statement that I'm going to be self-reliant. Mm-hmm. And it's I mean, that's just the way it is. I don't consider myself a gun nut. I think that's just a political ploy. Gun nuts. Are there gun nuts out there? Absolutely. And you know what? A lot of them shoot themselves accidentally and they get rid of the problem. They do. It happens a lot.
My favorite accidental shooting was the police officer giving this, the gun safety talk, yeah. and he shoots himself
in a school.
In a school, yeah. And everyone freaks out. He's like, yeah. no, it's all right. It's all right. I'm trying to explain.
He's a big, huge guy. He looked like an NFL linebacker.
It was the best video ever.
He pulls out a gun. He's like, I'm the only one qualified to handle this. And then he didn't
even pull it out yet. It was still in his holster, and he shot himself in the leg. And he's like, no, it's okay. I'm good.
If you watch it, what he did, this is the dumb thing. So he takes it. He didn't have it racked, so there was no bullet in the chamber. So he takes it out. He doesn't drop the clip out of it, and he opens it and then locks it in the open position. And he says, you know, no bullet comes out. So he says, look, there's no bullet in here. It's not loaded. But he never took the.
He never took the magazine.
Yeah.
Out.
So then he dropped the magazine for me. He dropped the chamber.
Good for him.
And then he puts it in his pocket and pulled the trigger and shot himself.
God, I can't believe. I mean, how is his finger even on the trigger to begin with?
The thing about it is, it happens. You hear. You can look it up. I mean, you can look at these accidents. Yeah. You know, people have 50 years with gun knowledge and it's just that one time
you get
just
a little complacent,
yeah, and that's what kills you and that's what injures you. And people say it all the time, with guns you have to be 100% 100% of the time. If you ever catch yourself not being 100%, you got to step back and be like, I mean, I don't know what you do in that. If I ever fired a round in my house or did just something like that, I'm done with guns, because that's unacceptable. That's unacceptable.
It is. It's a negligent discharge.
Yeah.
That's what we used to call it.
Yeah, ND. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's unacceptable. And if that happens, then I don't know. The only time I was ever afraid of a negligent discharge was when we would come back from a mission. We would be just dog-ass tired and we'd go into the armory, and we only carried M9s. And we'd have to put in that barrel thing that
you could shoot.
And to clear it. And there's so many times I'm like, just, you know, on 20, 24, 28 hours, I'm awake. I didn't really sleep much the night before. And I'm like, I'm going to clear this gun and someone's standing in front of me. I'm bound to shoot you. I was so paranoid at that point because I didn't know what I was doing. You just get, you know.
But you knew enough about guns to be paranoid in that situation. Yeah, so that was good.
Yeah, and you have to. Oh, actually, do you know what? And being paranoid isn't even a safe way to be either. And I am. I'm a paranoid gun owner. Like, I check, like, if I go out, I check my gun over like two or three times, and I'm just be, all right, there's no gun in the, I don't never carry a round in the chamber. I just don't. It's just the way I carry. Also, because I carry with it's exposed, the trigger's exposed, and I'm not gonna, because it's easy to, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, that'd be really easy, wouldn't it?
But yeah.
Do you have a license? Can you conceal down there, or do you have to have it visible?
You can conceal, you just have to take a course. It's like an 8-hour course, and then you apply for it through the sheriff.
Sheriff, yeah.
So, I mean, and to kind of go in full circle here, or whatever that's called, I think that, I don't know. Actually, do you know what? Now that I think about it, I don't know. Do you take a course? Do you make it mandatory to take a course? I don't know. And maybe it's just that's the problem. The problem is we have crazies. The problem is the crazies like to go for guns. The guns are an inanimate object. It's just a mechanism for which these idiots are making their horrible statements, and there's something else. Or we just accept it as it's part of life now, and it kind of sucks, but I mean, in the cowboy days, everyone carried guns.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of all of the above. I think you should have to do some sort of training. I think it's just responsible to do some sort of training. I don't think that solves your problem. I just happen to think it's responsible to go through some, you know, basic fundamentals, how to take care of a gun before you actually have an opportunity to own one. I don't think that's going to solve any of the problems, though. The guys who are committing these mass shootings and doing these sorts of things, they could pass the test just as easy as anyone else.
That's true.
I don't think that solves your problem. I just happen to think, on a completely different topic, that's just responsible to know how to operate a gun correctly. To solve this problem, I don't know. I think as a people, we just need to come together a little bit better. And I still think the problem is we're just terrible with each other. We're not good to each other, man. We treat each other very poorly. You know, if you don't fit the social norm, then you're generally picked on and bullied, And when that happens, that just that messes with somebody's psyche. And then the older they get, and the more it happens, the more they feel alienated and isolated, the less that they're likely to care for other individuals. And when that sort of thing happens, and then you couple the gun access with it, you got a powder keg, man. I mean, that thing's just ready to explode. I think that's part of the problem, but. Fixing that, I don't think there is any real fix to that. I mean, you're always going to have that sort of.
Where do you think it comes from? Where do you think treating each other like shit comes from? Do you think it's an evolutionary thing? Do you think it's a glitch? Do you think we're all just glitched? Here's Chris. Remember Multiplicity, that movie? I think I remember watching it with you, like, way.
It was Michael Keaton.
Yeah, where he, I like pizza. So the
first. He makes like a copy of himself.
That's exactly right. He makes like 80 copies of himself. And the idea was a copy of a copy of a copy starts getting a little faded.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah, he can't really read it. Well, maybe we've made too many copies of ourselves. Maybe we're starting to get a little weird.
Well, we've always been a little weird, man. I think you can trace it all the way back till forever. There's always been weird. Weird people that done weird things.
That's true. Remember you were telling me about that. Was it you?
Elizabeth
the woman that
Bathory?
Yeah, she would bathe in virgin blood.
Bathe in blood to try to keep herself, and she would torture virgins, and it was bizarre. Look at her. Oh. Elizabeth Bathory. Yeah.
Were we talking about this
with your the guy who did the true crime writing stuff?
Oh yeah, John Taylor. Yeah.
He was the one. I don't know, man. I think people are this is gonna happen. We pick on things that are different or weak than us. And I don't know if it's just humans. I think you can probably find it in nature.
It's just nature. It's survival of the fittest, you know?
It is a survival of the fittest thing. And I think it's just subconsciously we see that. We're like, you're different and you're, as a result of you being different, we think you're weaker than us. So we'll pick on you. And I think you find that in nature too. It is a survival of the fittest.
It's just that baboons don't have access to guns.
That's
therefore,
true.
They don't have gun violence.
That's very
you know?
True.
So,
horrifying.
You know, you get someone who's not as strong or as dominant as people in their core society or cliques or high schools or whatever, that's where, you know, they're able to lash out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's...
But like Mike said, I think, like you said, I don't know that there is any one answer to this because it's not, you know, I agree. Like, I don't personally own guns. I've shot a gun once in my life.
You're such a.
The funny thing is that it was one of my buddies who was a police officer, and he took me and our other friend out. And the scary thing is that I had never shot a gun in my life, and I was actually a better shot than he was. He was a police officer for 8 years.
Well, that is very
so. You know, again, you know, training and stuff like that might work for the police too.
If you ever come down to North Carolina, we're going to put some lead down range.
It's fun.
No, but yeah, it's one of those things.
It is fun.
Oh, definitely. Like it's and that's one of those primal things too. It's like you get power in your hand, and you know, just firing off a few rounds is fun.
Now I want to go shoot.
Yeah.
I know, me too. Let's drink some more. Let's finish this bottle of whiskey and then go shoot out. Some
blasting.
I'm just kidding.
You made me think of something there. Then what do we do about the? So that's one problem. And then the other, I want to read some stats here. I keep bringing it up, on my laptop's about to die here. That the overwhelming majority of gun deaths and shootings in the United States is crime. It's criminals, criminals on criminals. 71% of gunshot victims over the past 10 years have had previous arrest records. Think about that. 64% have been convicted of a crime. It right there tells you that it's the criminals that are getting into this problem. Each had on average 11 prior arrests. This is of gunshot victims, keep in mind.
11 prior per individual?
Mm-hmm. Average. God. 63% of victims had criminal histories, and 73% of that group knew their assailant twice as often as victims without criminal histories. So victim doesn't have a criminal history, they're 50% less chance of knowing who shot them. 74% of homicides during the commission of a felony involved guns. So it's usually during crime, and it's criminals that are doing it. And so, yeah, don't get fooled. Don't get fooled by the politics that say... there's crazies out there, and when you go to get ice cream, chances are some crazy's going to shoot you because it's not going to happen. Mike said earlier at the beginning, it's astronomically low. And again, you're three, and I think I said it was three classes of people. Mm-hmm. Your psychopaths that pull these things are a low percentage compared to your criminals, and then an even lower percentage of your people that are at war with us, like we saw in Paris. And you know what's even more wacky about that is Paris, those attacks happened. How many people ended up dying? It was like 130 or something like that.
I don't know. It was a lot.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Yeah.
Those attacks happen all the time in Mexico, in just pick any country in sub-Sahara Africa, Afghanistan. Yeah.
The difference is it's not a first world country.
Yeah, that's the big difference.
That's the huge difference.
There was some comedian that was talking about like, it was like a 10-to-1. Like if one American drowns in a boat, it's in the news, but it takes 10 like, foreign people to make the news.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Or maybe it was 100-to-1. It all depended on which country it was.
Yeah, yeah. I believe it. It's terrible, but it's true.
Yeah. Watch. Do you ever hear of Patrice O'Neill?
No.
Patrice O'Neill. Yeah. You've heard of him, Chris? Yeah. He's a.
He passed away, didn't he?
Yeah, he had a stroke. He was like a 400-pound diabetic comedian. He's just hysterical. Oh. Just really, really smart guy. And he was talking about that. And he was talking about how, do you remember the NFL? I think they were NFL guys that went out on a boat and they got lost at sea and they looked for him for like 4 hours. And they're like, they're lost. They gave up. And he says, he's a black guy. So he's like, it's because they were black. He's like, yeah, one little blonde girl goes missing in Aruba and they've been looking for her for like 20 years. He's like, that's why I'm going to get a white baby and put him on a keychain. He's like, I go out in a boat, I go missing, man. And they're going to send the Navy looking for me. Yeah, you got to watch that. It's hysterical. He's good. So once again, we solved the problems of the world.
That's right.
I think we did a good job. Chris, anything crazy and weird? I told you to bring up anything that blew your mind recently. Any weird news?
Not really. I mean, just other than all the Donald Trump news, but I know they don't want to get into politics. So.
I won't even go there. That's, yeah, we could go on there, but we're not going to say anything that no one else has said. Christmas is coming up.
Hooray.
Yeah. Did you decorate your house? I don't see you as a house decorating type of person.
Yeah, I told my wife, I said, either I'm doing nothing or it's going to be obnoxious.
So where are you on that?
I'm at nothing because she hasn't made a decision and it's already the 10th. So next year though, I think next year. Kevin, stand by, man. I'm going to blow this place up. It's not literally blow it up, but figuratively blow it up.
I got like a laser right on your forehead right now. It looks like you're about to be taken out. I got laser lights outside of my house.
I've seen those, man. It's like the lazy man's...
It is. Just aim it to...
Decorations. It's like a single light that shoots like a gajillion little...
Yeah, there's literally a green dot on your nose right now. Chris, you've never been here. So our podcast table is right next to the front window of my house where all my lights are. And I just pulled up the shade, and now there's a laser dot
it's
in Mike's
like
forehead.
An old 1980s
laser beam.
It's like discoteca.
Hey, Miami Vice.
Hello, discoteca.
Mike and I were going to do a fake show.
I'm still waiting for when we do a fake show.
And Mike was going to be, what was your name?
Oh, I don't remember, but I can be a bunch of names. Jazim. I want to be Jazim.
Jazim? No,
he was my cab driver in Boston.
His name was Jazim.
He's like, hello, I'm a Jazim. I'm like, hello, I'm a Mikhail. Take me place I want to go, Jazim.
It was like your mom's maiden name. What was it again?
No, I think it might have been my...
Brezhnikov?
Could have been. Yeah, I don't know. Could have been a lot of things.
Yeah.
We had this pick. Hot like a Miami Vice.
I bet you would get more listeners than this show.
Probably.
So I go out the other day.
You'd have to video it, though. You'd have to be a video podcast.
Oh, I would have to dress the part. I'd wear a tracksuit and gold chains.
Can't go wrong with the tracksuit.
That's right.
I'm trying to bring my shades down. The neighbors are now looking squarely at Mike, but I have it locked up, so I guess that's just the way it's
that's
be.
How that works. Might as well open them all up then.
Oh yeah, that's right. How did UK go for you?
It was very interesting. It's a lovely country that has lots of sheep, and the one thing I did notice that the sheep make a different noise over there.
Do they really?
You know, over here the sheep go, you know, you got the typical like bah, but over there they're like no.
Terrible joke.
Do you know what? I'm not going to edit that out. I'm going to let you suffer through that one. Perfect. I was stuck in Scotland once. I was stuck in Scotland for like 2 weeks.
I was in Scotland. It's a totally different area.
Is that where you just came from, or?
No, I was in the UK.
Well, Scotland is UK, isn't it?
Telford, England, London.
Funny thing is
out in the countryside and. Beautiful, beautiful countryside, but not a place I would ever want a vacation in.
Yeah.
Because there's absolutely nothing there, and the food is terrible.
Food in the UK sucks.
Yeah, it's terrible. The beers weren't bad, but they were warm, so I had to get used to that.
When I was stuck there, I was stuck there because we flew our airplanes in. They were 50-year-old airplanes, so they would break. This is into Prestwick, Scotland at the time. And we'd just be stuck until we could get parts in. And I remember I'd go from my hotel room, we'd go out and just drink all day, and then go back to our hotel room. And the walk back at the end of the night after you've had a few, every bar I would pass by, just wafts of smoke and fried fish would come out. And I would go back to my room so nauseous just from those fish baskets that everyone eats. And the girls all ate and you're like, oh, this smoky fish breath. This smoky fish breath would come off. But I'll tell you, the Royal Air Force, they showed us around. And, man, those guys could party. They party on a level that only drinking since you're 6 years old could treat you. Like,
the main guy that I met over there that works for my company, he actually, so he's in his mid-40s, he's a divorcee, no kids, and he just moved into a new apartment.
Uh-huh.
And
a flat?
His apartment choice was solely decided upon based on the pub that was located near him. Like, he had another apartment that he wanted to move to, but he checked out the local pub and saw the people that were there, didn't like the people that were there, so decided to take a different apartment halfway across town. I'm like, that's dedication right there.
That really is. A public house. I mean, that's like a pub over there is where you go. I mean, that's what do you do?
Oh, he's there 5 nights a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's there 5 nights a week at least, if not 6 or 7.
Gosh, we should open up a neighborhood pub. Wouldn't that be great? Instead of just drinking at my podcast table and talking to the four people that listen. And the other thing that was unfortunate about, I forgot. I have listeners in the UK, so. Never mind. Lovely country.
Lovely
beautiful
people.
Beautiful sheep.
Lovely people.
Like over there. I've been to the UK and Ireland.
No, it was great. The people were amazing. And, like, I did have a blast, but the food was just terrible.
No, I agree. I never got a decent meal over there. The fish and chips weigh on you after a while. You're like,
really? I thought it was great.
Really?
It's... Yeah. The best fish and chips ever was in the UK.
Oh, sure, no. The fish and chips I had, that was the only meal that was good.
Yeah.
It was the fish and chips. 14th day of the restaurant.
Yeah.
You start sweating fish oil and you're like,
Yeah, I just keep piling it on. I'm just like, you just shove it in. I thought it was great.
Do you know what I loved about the UK? Like in the middle of the day, like 3:30 actually, or 2:30 or 3:30, everything stopped and everyone went out and got meat pies. I was walking around the street and I'm like, why the hell are all these people in line at the bakeries? And so I just got in line with them and I got up to the front and I'm like, I'll have what everyone's having. And they're like, do you want this or this? And I was like, I'll have that. And then I walked out. I still didn't know what it was. I imagine it was some sort of ground beef or sheep or something. And it was a meat pie. And every single day, everyone was going out getting their meat pies. It was actually pretty good. All right. Well, anything, Mike, you want to plug? What's going on? What's going on?
Not a lot going on. I got super busy with the stuff I'm trying to do. So the podcast kind of fell to the wayside, but I'm trying to pick that back up. But really, I'm just real busy.
Because your bar's about ready to go live.
Damn, I'm trying. God dang, man. I've been talking to all kinds of people to get me into a place, and I think we're getting real close. I'm working with a guy right now. We started talking some real numbers, so it's going to be interesting. We'll see how that goes here probably in the next month or so. The holidays are screwing it up for me. I hate the holidays. So
it
stops everything kind of business.
It really does.
It slows down, and I'm like, damn it. I'm making some pretty solid progress, but now I'm going to have to slow down.
With my podcast, I was like, there was a few months there where I was just going hard with it. And then this month, I'm just like,
it's tough, man.
Birthday, I mean, Thanksgiving,
next
Christmas.
Week, everything kind of fires up next week, and then you're done until after the New Year's.
There's not
much you can do.
I love this time of year, and I'm not even a sappy, like, let's go sing Kumbaya. I'm not even a very religious guy, but I just love the lights. It's my birthday. It's just great, and there's cookies. Everyone's got cookies.
It is a good time, but it just, all progress slows.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not for everybody, but man, when you're trying to start something,
like, for me, it's actually really busy. Everyone's sick right now.
Down.
Yeah.
It's like shit.
Yeah. Chris, anything?
So I'm doing a new podcast about whiskeys, different malts and liquors. I'm on episode 4 already.
He's messing with
you. Wait a minute. Is he
real? No, he's not.
Oh, son of a bitch. I was going to say, that's exactly like mine. Like, hold on a second.
Maybe it's my idea.
Hey,
damn,
let's link up, man, and figure some shit out. But no, you're joking. Nah, forget about it.
Hey, wait a minute. That sounds familiar.
Hey, I don't lie. I'm like the son of this guy.
Hey, I'm you. Why, yada. All right. Well, we'll do the outro. And until next time, I want to try to get, this is episode number 23. I'm going to try to get 25 out by the end of the year. Don't know if that's going to be possible, but I would love to get 25 in this year. And next year, my goal is 50. What? No, just kidding. That's once a week. Do another 25 next year. This year, I only started in March. So we're talking
what
9 months.
What number was I on for the first one?
7 or 8.
Wow.
Yeah.
25.
You've been on for a while.
That's so awesome.
You did
That's
miss awesome. A good chunk there. It was like
yeah,
a few
but the
weeks,
fact
but
that you got, I'm not for me, I'm just saying how many you've made since,
yeah,
it hasn't been that long ago.
Just get on and drivel. That's all it is.
All right.
People listen to it.
You're right. Like the Alec Baldwin from Saturday Night Live. You got like the most visits on the podcast, though.
My salty balls.
That's awesome.
All right.
Better than me and Billy.
Yeah. All right. That was the Wait What If podcast. Kimmy Pop, take it away.
Like us on facebook.com/WWIPodcast and at WWIPodcast on Twitter. Drop us a line at waitwhatifpodcast@yahoo.com. Listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or TuneIn Internet Radio. Enjoyed your listening experience. Now go forth and expand your reality.